This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Things moving fast on this Thursday afternoon. Adam Carter filling in for Chad Hartman today. We appreciate the well wishes that Chad has received via text. Keep them coming in too. Chad checks that text line from time to time, even when he's not in studio. So 651-989-9226 is the text line. If you want to text in well wishes to Chad, just a moment on that. Chad on his Twitter account, at Chad Hartman Show, over the last couple of days. That's where he broke the news that Sid had passed on Sunday. Yesterday, very poignant photo of Chad standing over Sid's casket. And the day before that, he also tweeted a photo of him holding Sid's hand. Right at the time that Sid had passed, and just a very moving photo, if you've seen it. If not, again, it's at Chad Hartman Show. But what was remarkable about that photo was the response we got to, and we still are getting them. So many people have been in that same situation, at the bedside of a loved one who's in their final moments. And that picture of whether it's your mother, your father, a spouse, sadly, a child even, in those final moments, how difficult that must be, but taking a picture of holding your loved one's hand and how poignant that is. Well, when Chad tweeted that, so many people responded to that tweet with similar pictures, similar shots of two hands holding each other and in final moments. Just very touching stuff. And if you get a chance, check that out, at Chad Hartman Show, as we continue to remember Sid Hartman. And we're going to continue to remember him in about 20 minutes from now. At the bottom of the hour, one of his coworkers over at the Star Tribune took a lot of candid photos of Sid. And they're classic. It's amazing how a still photograph can capture the essence of Sid Hartman, a man who was constantly moving. If you knew anything about Sid, constantly moving. And Paul Clauda works over at the Star Tribune in the sports department over there. He's also a very good photographer and captured just some great, great candid moments of Sid Hartman. They're on the Star Tribune's website, and you can check them out. But we're going to be talking to Paul at 1:35 this afternoon. And we're going to do it on Facebook Live to give you a chance, if you're at the computer, to tune in and watch the interview with Paul, because we'll have a chance to put some of those photos up. If not, if you're just listening on the radio, we'll give you a chance to get some links up so you can check some of those photographs out. Just very, very cool stuff. As we continue to remember the man, the myth, and the legend, Sid Hartman. The debate tonight, and I don't know what to think about it. I heard Corey talking earlier about it, and I think he's probably got similar thoughts as a lot of us. Well, it's kind of my duty to watch. I've got to watch, especially in this line of work, if you're on the radio and got to stay informed, you got to watch, as painful as it might be. But my argument is I don't think it's a duty to watch. I don't think you have any sort of duty to watch, because honestly, how we've seen these debates kind of devolve into what they've become. And it goes back a few years. It's not just this year. It's not just 2016. The information, viable information you can get about one candidate or the other, I just don't see it as that significant during these events. And tonight, the rules being changed is how they are, with this mute button that's going to go into effect. So one candidate gets to answer, the other candidate will have their microphone muted. I saw an interesting take on that, saying, I guess the initial reaction to that rule change is, well, that hurts President Trump. President Trump is bombastic, the interrupting style. His supporters want to see that. So that is worse for President Trump. I guess that's the gut that's the initial reaction to those rule changes. And I'm not so sure about that. I heard somebody explain it this way. It might hurt Joe Biden more because, okay, it's Joe Biden's turn to answer now. He gets a minute, 2 minutes, whatever it is, to answer the question. So President Trump's mic is turned off. But does any of us really think that President Trump is going to stay quiet even though his mic is turned off? So let's say his mic is off, but he's still reacting to what Joe Biden is saying. He's saying things. Now Joe Biden is on camera. His mic is on, but he can hear President Trump even though we can't because his microphone's not on. But how does that affect Joe Biden? Does that rattle him? Because clearly that was the game plan for President Trump in the first debate. Interrupt Joe Biden. Get him off his game. Get him looking confused, looking like he can't answer questions, to play in to the narrative that the Republicans and President Trump have been pushing, that Joe Biden is not mentally fit for office. So try to make it look like Joe Biden's confused, can't answer the question. That was clearly the game plan. So tonight, I don't know if it works against Joe Biden to have that rule change. It might be an advantage for President Trump. But again, just the basic premise of this debate, and whether or not an undecided voter, even though, yes, the numbers tell us there are still undecided voters, even though I, again, find that hard to believe in this day and age with where we are as a country and with these two candidates, that one could still be on the fence. But okay, I'll believe there's a certain percentage of people who are on the fence. Does that debate tonight, does that do anything to make up somebody's mind? Is there any information that can be gleaned from that debate that will make up someone's mind? And I personally just don't know. Devin, bringing you in here, do you plan, first of all, your interest level in tonight's debate is on a scale of 1 to 10, what?
4.
4. Did you watch the first one?
I watched the first one. Didn't see much of the town hall meetings. And I'm more interested in watching these debates, not to like necessarily listen to the candidates and hear what they have to say, but just see, I don't know what you want to call it, the foolishness or
Look, I mean, there's a lot of people that just want to watch that and love it. Yeah. They might love President Trump. They might hate him.
Right.
And my theory on that, too, is just as many people who hate him want to see him as the people who love him want to see him. That's always been one of the great myths, that, you know, people, like, if they hate your guts, that they will try to avoid you. No, it's the people who you really are really kind of indifferent, that people don't pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And President Trump knows this, and he knows that he gets, even if people who hate him, detest him, he can get a reaction out of them. So he knows. He's all about marketing and television, and he knows that eyeballs on the show is a good thing for him either way. But
And he presses good press, as they say.
Yep. Didn't want to spend a lot of time on it, but certainly would like your take, too. I mean, how interested are you in tonight's debate? I want to know if you're watching, if you feel like it's a duty to watch. I don't know about that. But anyway, 651-989-9226. Keep the text coming in. Switching gears, next segment, we just confirmed an interview with the DNR. I'm a deer hunter. I know a few people listening are deer hunters, too. Now, we're 2 weeks away from the start of deer season. Saturday will be 2 weeks until the start of the firearms deer season in Minnesota. It's a big deal for people, not just for people who want to hunt a deer. It's an event for people. It's a rite of passage for people. It's a tradition for people. People gather in deer camps all around the state for an annual tradition. Sadly, 2020, as we know, is a strange year, and it's the pandemic year. How is that going to change the deer camp this year, the dynamic, sitting around a table? You're worried. A lot of these hunters, of course, a big part of family traditions is hunting with your father, your uncle, and those are people in the vulnerable category for COVID-19. We're going to find out what the DNR has to say about that up next on WCCO. Right on top of it, Devin, with the music. Appreciate that. Adam Carter in for Chad on this Thursday afternoon. And deer hunting, something I love to do. And it's coming up. Firearms deer season begins 2 weeks from Saturday. But I've been thinking about, okay, we're going hunting. I go with the same group of guys every year in a cabin out in the woods. It's a fairly confined area. What do I do? What about the older folks in our group who may be susceptible to COVID-19? So I thought I'd reach out to the Minnesota DNR to try to get some answers on that. And thankfully, Dave Olfelt, who is the director of Fish and Wildlife, director of the Fish and Wildlife Division for the DNR, has taken some time to join us. Dave, thanks for the time today.
Glad to be here, Adam.
Tell me about, I guess, how much is this on your radar as we approach hunting season? And we got, you know, groups of people getting together.
Well, it's just one of the many ways this virus is affecting our lives here in Minnesota, isn't it? It's just every aspect of life and just a hugely important tradition in Minnesota. Going to deer camp, going deer hunting is part of that. And as I heard your little intro, there are lots of people thinking about how do we continue this activity and what do we do to try to stay safe as we're doing that. That's a big topic.
Yeah, the activity itself, I think, is no problem. I mean, you're usually you're by yourself, you're out in the woods, you're really no danger. But it's, you know, going back to camp, and like I was saying, Dave, a lot of the times, you know, you want to hunt with your dad or you want to hunt with your uncle, guys you've been hunting with for years or gals you've been hunting with for years, and some of them are getting up in age and they're in that vulnerable group. I guess, is there any kind of advice from the DNR this year as we head to, because obviously, you know, the DNR needs people to get out hunting as well, and it's critical for folks to buy licenses and participate in that activity.
Yep, and people have been getting outside an awful lot this year. You know, the advice doesn't come from Department of Natural Resources. You know, we look to the Department of Health, just like all other folks do for that. And we know what some of the risk factors are. And you mentioned some of them, you know, our age and whether we're susceptible in other ways. But we've also, you know, there are things that we can do to, you know, think about, you know, minimizing our risks to our friends and family. And, you know, some of the ones that I think about are, you know, if you're gonna go to the cabin with a group of people, well, now's the time, you know, to make a pact with your buddies. Well, what are you gonna be doing the next couple of weeks to keep yourself safe coming into camp? Where are you in advance of that so that you have the best chance of coming in and not bringing the virus with you? You know, other things that I know some camps are doing are it's not ideal, but they're doing sort of a timeshare, and so, you know, one little family group that maybe is spending time together already, you know, they'll be there opening weekend, and another family group might be there the second weekend. So people are, you know, they're being creative, and they're trying to come up with ways that allow them to use the cabin and use the land, but maybe, you know, as hard as it is, not be there all at the same time.
Yeah, that, you know, that's such a good point, too, that you brought up, and this is kind of the point we're at right now. So we've got about 2 weeks before the start of it, and that's a time, you know, if you really want to commit to going up and you're going to be with people from other households, limit your exposure right now. Make sure that 2 weeks you really limit getting exposed to anybody else. Then you can ensure that, you know, when the opening weekend comes around, you'll be good to go.
Yep. I mean, people are, you know, what do they call them? Pods. They're creating these pods, these social pods in other places. And that seems like a smart thing to me to try for deer camp as well.
You mentioned it when we started talking about this, about the fact that numbers have been up on people enjoying the outdoors. Can you talk to that? I know right away when kind of the slowdown happened, we had some closures that people said, well, I got to find something to do. And yeah, they turned to the good old outdoors, didn't they?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Our fishing licenses were up by about, I think, about 100,000 this year,
which wow.
is a really nice uptick over the whole course of the year. We're seeing, you know, still early for deer licenses, but we're seeing some early signs. Like archery licenses were up. So, yeah, people are taking, you know, they're finding some solace in getting outside, and that's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing.
Yeah, and again, it speaks to this year, and, you know, we've heard lots of experts. We have Dr. Michael Ostrom on all the time, and he says you got to look at 2020 as the pandemic year. And sadly, it might mean, you know, as we get back to deer hunting, you know, if you don't feel good in those days leading up to deer camp, as tough as it is, you know, you might have to sit out a year.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, this is maybe the year that Uncle Joe, you know, maybe it'll pressure him to come to camp because it wouldn't be good for him. Yeah, it's 2020, and we need to be cognizant of that.
How are deer numbers?
Deer numbers are good. Our permit structure, our hunt structure for this fall is more liberal than it has been the last couple of years. So we're expecting a good season. And I'm talking to you from Grand Rapids. I got to come home to Grand Rapids with COVID, so I've been working from here. And there's snow on the ground, and I think there'll be snow on the ground if the forecast holds for a lot of Minnesota. So that should be good for deer hunters too.
Dave, thanks so much. We'll check in as we get closer to opening day, but very good information and stuff to think about, especially for those folks who are, I guess, a little on the fence about how to handle things this year.
Yeah, just, you know, encourage people to get out, be safe, be smart, you know, hunt from home if you have to, but please, you know, be safe and enjoy the outdoors.
Dave Olfelt, DNR Director of Fish and Wildlife Division. Thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Adam Carter in for Chad on this Thursday afternoon. We're going to take a break. We got traffic and weather coming up. Then you're going to want to click on your computer. Keep the radio on if you want, but we're going to be on Facebook Live for the next segment at 1:35, or we'll tweet out the link, too, where you can watch through a video on Twitter. We're going to be talking to a guy who works over at the Star Tribune, worked for years with Sid, and how he documented some of the more great candid moments of Sid Hartman's life. That's coming up. But traffic and weather coming up on WCCO. News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Adam in for Chad on this Thursday afternoon, 1:36. And we continue all week to remember Sid Hartman. That's why Chad is off, of course. And we're thinking about Chad and thinking about Sid's family. And that's why I wanted to bring our next guest in. And by the way, we are broadcasting live on Facebook. If you're watching now, you can see me waving. Facebook Live, just go to our WCCO Facebook page. We've also tweeted out a link. Paul Plauta works over at the Star Tribune, and I noticed yesterday in all their remembrances that they've been doing, Paul put up some of some candids from Sid, and Paul joins us now. Paul, first of all, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Adam. Looking forward to talking with you about Sid.
Tell me about your experience with him and how you managed to capture some of those candids that you did.
Well, I had a desk near Sid in our old newsroom on 425 Portland Avenue, and I happened to be kind of nearby when he would walk by the vending machine. And when he was in his 90s, he sometimes couldn't open up the Mountain Dew bottle that he bought. So I would help him open that, and that's at least how he got to know me, at least as the guy who could open the bottle for him. I also was helping with some moving issues as we were getting into our planning to move out of our building. And Sid had quite an office that needed to be moved, so that put me in contact with him as well.
Let me guess, you opened his bottles of Mountain Dew and he called you Mr. Opener or something like that.
Yeah.
An original nickname.
Yeah, I was Mr. Preps because I dealt with high school sports. But what I realized was, you know, he's the kind of guy who I had known of when working at the paper for about 3 decades at that point. He, of course, had been there for 6 decades. But I was fairly new to sports, so I hadn't really worked up close with him. But it struck me that he was an extraordinary individual. You know, here he was in his 90s, still working and working extremely hard. I thought, you don't get a chance to sort of be around somebody like this that often. So I decided to pay a little more attention to him when he was interacting with people and doing his things to get ready to move. And that's kind of what led to me posting pictures of him on Instagram.
Now, when you're taking these pictures, is he noticing and is he making comments as to wondering what you're doing?
Well, the phone is a pretty small device, so you, as most of your listeners know, you can take pictures sometimes without people realizing it. Quite often, he knew I was taking pictures, and I was paying attention to what he was saying. I'm not necessarily sure he, you know, cared whether I was recording him or not. He just being said.
The ones that you have that you posted, is there one that stands out that you're interested in?
Well, the one that probably gets the most attention is the one where he is walking down the stairs in the old building. It was 1 week before the Star Tribune vacated the building, and Sid was in these very familiar stairs. He had worked in this building, you know, since the mid-1940s. He was as much a part of that place as anyone, and he was leaving down the stairs because he told me later he didn't much care for elevators. And so here's this, you know, 90 some year old guy taking the stairs for one of the last times in his career.
That is a great shot. We've got it up on Facebook now as we're talking about it. Just for people, they missed this, they're listening on the radio and they want to see the photo. Can you give your Instagram info out so if people want to check it out?
Oh, sure, yeah. My account name is P as in Paul Klauda, K-L-A-U-D-A. And if you want to look at the posts about Sid, the only way I could sort of keep track of them myself was to give him a hashtag. So the hashtag Sid Strib, S-I-D-S-T-R-I-B. You should be able to find him on Instagram.
Beautiful pictures. And when I started looking at your Instagram account, I got further down. You're an incredible photographer, by the way. Your pictures are magnificent. And more than just Sid, you've got lots of just beautiful photos in there. I started noticing ones with someone you call the kid. Can you explain who the kid is and how you documented the kid's journey and what that journey was?
Oh, man, I'm so glad you asked about my friend Mike Rokamp. Mike was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's when he was in his early 50s. Mike and I had been friends going back to our grade school years in Rochester, Minnesota. We attended school together. We were at college together. We attended each other's weddings. We played softball together. We played golf. We were friends, part of a friend group that I'm sure many listeners have that, you know, just sort of hangs together. When he was diagnosed, at one point he became someone who needed to be gotten out of the house more to live his life as best he could. And he was not shy about his Alzheimer's. He wanted people to know about it. And as I spent more time with him, I was able to kind of document what he was going through. Me not knowing exactly what that was like, because I had never really experienced that disease up close like that. So I spent any amount of time that I could with Mike. We went back to St. Thomas where we went to school. We went out to the Arboretum. We spent a lot of time having lunch, breakfast, and reliving the memories as best he could. showing him yearbook pictures and trying to, you know, amazingly, he would recall things that you would never expect him to be able to recall. So we kind of documented his journey through Alzheimer's. Mike passed away in May, sadly, but I was so thrilled and happy that I was able to spend as much time with him as I could.
We put some of those pictures up as we're talking too, and I'd encourage anybody to look at those. They're so touching, so moving. And it's coming from your perspective as somebody who takes, can you talk about the importance of those photos when you were with Mike, and I guess how they were able to trigger some memories?
Yeah, well, what I tried to, you know, as I thought about what I was doing, what entered my mind the most was that this could be a situation that any of us could be in. We might know someone going through a situation like this, and it wouldn't have to be Alzheimer's, but in Mike's case, it was. But, you know, you're there as a friend, and I thought, we're doing things that I thought other people could relate to. And that's kind of how I approached my world with Instagram, was talk to people or talk about and show things that anybody could be experiencing. Because quite frankly, you know, I suspect a lot of us do go through these sorts of situations. I was just taking the time to document it a little bit and share what I thought were the kinds of encounters that we all have in our daily lives, and sometimes we just don't pay enough attention to them.
That's true. Even somebody who's 100 years old, and suddenly we kind of wish we had, you know, one more interaction or one more opportunity to take a picture of that person.
Absolutely. You know, Sid would he would argue with the copy desk. He would go into the editor's office and, you know, be fearful that he was going to be fired when the editor asked him to simply take a day off. You know, those kinds of, you know, everyone asks for a day off. Everyone might get into it a little bit with a colleague. Sid did that right in front of me. And I, you know, didn't always think that was interesting, but a lot of times it was, because they were such normal interactions with a guy who, quite frankly, you know, has a huge profile. But when you're dealing with him, you know, as a colleague, or I'm sure he at WCCO Radio, he was like this. You know, he's just a guy who, you know, has a job to do, and he worked so incredibly hard. That was probably the thing that stood out to all of us in the newsroom, was, you know, seeing him at 11 o'clock at night with his assistant, Jeff Day, who's in the foreground of that photo, or excuse me, right up near the camera in that picture. Jeff helped Sid put his column together in the last years of his life. To watch that guy go at it the way he did, whether you read him or not, whether you liked him or not. And a lot of people, you know, of course, have opinions of Sid that are less than positive, but that's okay. He's just a guy that everybody knows on a first name basis. And in the latter years of his life, to be doing what he was doing was simply amazing for me to just observe. And that's what I tried to capture in my Instagrams.
And I was saying this before we last hour, to capture Sid in a photo, it's a difficult thing to do, because one thing that everybody universally talks about, always moving, always going to the next event. But your photos remarkably capture that, even though they're still photos, but especially his smile. I think Sid Harmon had a pretty underrated smile, a great smile. And some of those where he's sitting in his chair and you capture him laughing or something, those are fantastic.
Yeah, when he was animated, he was terrific. And there's one of the pictures that the Star Tribune chose to use in the story that it published in both online and in the paper, was one where he was pushing his walker past the door of a meeting room where we were all the geniuses, he would call us, all the geniuses in one room. But he was going by the door, and you can see, because the iPhone just, you know, only can capture what it captures, but you can see his feet in a kind of a blur, because he moved pretty quickly for a guy using a walker. And his nurses, I know, used to complain that he wouldn't wait for them when he wanted to leave the building. The guy had tremendous energy, and that one photo I thought kind of showed that he moves pretty quick for a guy who's 99.
Talking to Paul Clauda, a colleague of Sid's over at the Star Tribune, I know that you, in addition to taking those photos in the newsroom or in the sports department, you also cover high school sports. And I'd like to get your opinion on that. I saw your piece today about cross country, the state cross country meet, and parents won't be allowed. It's just kind of another chapter in the year that is 2020.
Yeah, the pandemic is rippling through high school sports in ways that you know, nobody could have predicted back in March. And I think as we see things play out now, Obviously, the attempts to play sports, laudable, certainly for the kids who have been, you know, sidelined by so much. You hope it works out in a good way, but every weekend there are games getting canceled because of COVID situations. And I think it's only going to continue. Obviously, the issue in the story today was about fans being unable to attend a cross-country meet, which I think struck a lot of people as somewhat, you know, I think one of the people in the story said nonsensical. But those are the kinds of issues that we're running into. It makes the high school sports world a little bit newsier in a non-sports way. And I think that might, you know, kind of not feel good to sports fans who just want to watch games. But this pandemic is with us. And until it's, you know, not with us, it's going to be part of what we're going to write about.
Paul, just again, if people want to check out your photos, where do they find you?
Easiest to find on Instagram. My username is P as in Paul, P Clauda, P-K-L-A-U-D-A. Just type that in, you know, with Instagram, and you should be able to find my page. The Sid stuff has a hashtag called Sid Strib. So that's the best way to cull through and find the Sid pieces.
And again, all your other photos are fantastic too. Paul, thanks so much. A unique perspective into the life of and a guy who captured beautifully. Thank you so much for sharing your pictures and your stories with us on WCCO.
Great. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Paul Clauda on WCCO. 148 News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll be back after the break.
On a Thursday afternoon. My thanks to Paul Clauda. And I know some people texting, and what was that account of his? So it's Instagram, and it's at P. Clauda, so P-K-L-A-U-D-A. And if you go on the Star Tribune's website, I think the sports page, his article is up. Just great stuff. And again, look at his Instagram account. Great pictures. One of those things that I think a lot of people wish they would have taken a class on, photography. Because it seems so easy. Like you see something out and about and take a picture of it, and then you look at your phone, or even if you have a camera, you're like, it doesn't look like, it's not what I wanted to capture. And I think there's a real talent. A hot take here. Photographers, talented people. Am I right, Devin? Am I right, those photographers?
Oh, yeah.
They got some talent.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think you appreciate more when you study it and don't realize how much can truly go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes or setting up for a picture, lighting, headspace is one thing I learned when I took a photography class.
Oh, so you've taken a class. How would you rate yourself as a photographer?
A 2.
A 2?
Tops.
So the class didn't take?
No, not many of my classes growing up took with me.
Yeah, me neither. Well, that's why we're both working here, buddy.
Yeah. Exactly. Well,
dreaming of pimping up this small studio. No, just great stuff, and check it out. And the very touching information about his friend, too. Just that awful disease of Alzheimer's that robs us of our memories, and how important pictures are playing a role in that. Next hour is a big hour. Boy, if you missed it, so much breaking news today. Of course, the Derek Chauvin charge dropped against him, the third-degree murder charge dropped against him. That's the big story of the day. We talked to Joe Friedberg in the first hour about that, and Joe very candid in his thoughts about he thought it was foolish that that charge was filed against Chauvin in the first place. If you missed that interview, really good interview, go back to that radio.com app, hit the rewind function. Joe was on at 12:08. Also, the breaking news after that, as Laura Oakes broke in and told us, the National Guard has been activated again tonight by Governor Tim Walz, just in case there is some reaction to that decision by Judge Peter Cahill. But as the sheriff was very clear, Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, when I was driving in today, joined Corey right after this news broke, and the sheriff wanted to make sure that people knew that the most serious charges are still filed against Derek Chauvin. Those are still in place, and he still faces those charges. This was the third-degree murder charge, which is the lesser of the charges he faced that was dismissed by Judge Peter Cahill. So I think there's a real concerted effort here by folks in law enforcement and certainly by the governor who has activated the National Guard into keeping the peace tonight. And as I mentioned to Laura, I think the weather certainly playing a big role in that right now. So as miserable as it is outside, I think for folks who want to see a peaceful night, that weather is helping in that effect, and it is gross. Is it still kind of you? I don't have a window to the outside, Devin. Is it still yellow out? It was like yellow.
Yeah.
Driving into it. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
It was just kind of creepy. It was like, kind of that early morning sky, but it was 10:30, and I'm driving in, and the sky is still yellow.
Yeah.
I'd like to know meteorologically what the deal was with that. And then we had thunder and lightning.
Yeah, did you see that?
I didn't see it. I just heard reports that
we
had thunder and lightning, as well as snow and sleet falling. Yeah, somebody texting in. In Eagan, still yellow. Sucks. Yeah, geez. Wow. News Talk 8th, by the way, we love your texts. We love the folks who get it. 651-989-9226. I pointed out during that interview with Joe Friedberg earlier, I'd used the comment, an off-ramp charge as the lesser of the charge, thinking that, okay, if a jury's arguing, can we convict someone on this charge? Maybe not, but the lesser of the charge, is that the off-ramp charge saying, okay, we're still going to convict him on something, even though it's not maybe what prosecutors wanted? And one of our texters saying, hit the bell on that. That's a term that we have to hit the buzzer on, narrative. Literally, these words that get overused. Smoke from Colorado wildfires. That's what a texter says, by the way. Thank you very much. That explains it. Keep the texts coming in. 651-989-9226. Busy 2 o'clock hour coming up. The Vikings, that's kind of getting lost in the shuffle today. Yannick Ngakoue, remember him? He was the big defensive end signing from the Jacksonville Jaguars. When we thought, okay, Danielle Hunter, hopefully he'll just be out with a tweak. We got Yannick Ngakoue coming back. This Vikings defense is going to be solid, rebuilding, going to be a great year. Kirk Cousins is not great, but he's good enough to get us through. We got Dalvin Cook. Man, we've got we got Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. We're not going to lose a step. This is going to be the Vikings year. Oh, yeah, then 2020 happened. And it's been a miserable start. 1-5 now. Or they're 1-4. I'm sorry. Is it 1-4? 1-5.
1-5. Yep.
So, Yannick Ngakoue, by the way, he was traded today. So that shows you where the Vikings are at. The man who we like to go to for Viking information, Purple Insiders, Matthew Koller. Koller's going to join us coming up at 2:05 to talk about the Vikings move and what Rick Spielman had to say and his excuse for doing what he did today. So that's coming up with Matthew Koller at 12:05. Then Dara, it is Thursday. We'll talk about food and her dog. Her dogs are pretty cute. We'll talk to Dara about a lot of things going on. That's coming up at 2:35. Stay with us, won't you? Adam in for Chad on News Talk 830 WCCO. Laura coming up with the local update. CBS News at the top. Plenty going on. Stay with us. 33 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's an orange sky, yellow sky. It's a consensus. Smoke from Colorado. Stop the smoke, Colorado. We don't like the yellow sky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.